Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. It's going to be a little short sermon today. Both of my brothers sort of out of pocket this morning, but first I want to thank God for allowing us to be here and just say, give a blessing to his word. I'm going to bring a little sermon by Martin Luther King and just thank God for just allowing us to be here another day.
And help welcome our honored, distinguished guest, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King.
Thank you very kindly. Principal Fornese, Mr. Williams, members of the faculty and members of the student body of Barrett Junior High School, ladies and gentlemen, I need not pause to say how very delighted I am to be here today and to have the opportunity of taking a brief break in a pretty busy schedule in the city of Philadelphia to share with you the students of Barrett Junior High School. And I want to express my personal appreciation to the principal and the administration for inviting me and for giving me the opportunity to see this very fine and enthusiastic group of students here at Barrett. I guess I ought to start out with a commercial, and that is tonight we're going to have a great night in the city of Philadelphia at the Spectrum. Now, I know you've heard of that new impressive structure called the Spectrum. And I know you've heard of Harry Belafonte and Aretha Franklin and Nipsey Russell and Sidney Poitier and all of these other great and outstanding artists. Well, they're going to be here tonight at the Spectrum, and I hope that each of you will go home and tell your parents to be there tonight for this great Freedom Festival, and I hope you will come also, for it will be a great experience, and by coming, you will be supporting the work of the civil rights movement. Now that I've gotten the commercial out of the way, I'll move on and say some things that I want to say very briefly. And I'm being very honest, I'm going to be brief because I have other engagements. I don't have a tradition of being brief all the time. You know, I'm a Baptist preacher, and we can talk a long time. But I'm going to really be brief today. I want to ask you a question, and that is, what is in your life's blueprint? This is the most important and crucial period of your lives, for what you do now and what you decide now at this age may well determine which way your life shall go. And whenever a building is constructed, you usually have an architect who draws a blueprint. And that blueprint serves as the pattern, as the guide, as the model for those who are to build the building. And a building is not well erected without a good, sound, and solid blueprint. Now, each of you is in the process of building the structure of your lives. And the question is whether you have a proper, a solid, and a sound blueprint. And I want to suggest some of the things that should be in your life's blueprint. Number one in your life's blueprint should be a deep belief in your own dignity, your own worth, and your own somebodiness. Don't allow anybody to make you feel that you are nobody. Always feel that you count. Always feel that you have worth, and always feel that your life has ultimate significance. Now, that means that you should not be ashamed of your color. You know, it's very unfortunate that in so many instances, our society has placed a stigma on the Negro's color. You know, there are some Negroes who are ashamed of themselves. But don't be ashamed of your color. Don't be ashamed of your biological features. Somehow you must be able to say in your own lives and really believe it, I am black but beautiful. And believe it in your heart. And therefore, you need not be lured into purchasing cosmetics advertised to make you lighter. Neither do you need to process your hair to make it appear straight. I have good hair, and it's as good as anybody else's hair in the world. And we've got to believe that. Now, in your life's blueprint, be sure that you have that a principle of somebodiness. Secondly, in your life's blueprint, you must have as a basic principle the determination to achieve excellence in your various fields of endeavor. You're going to be deciding as the days and the years unfold what you will do in life, what your life's work will be. And once you discover what it will be, set out to do it and to do it well. And I say to you, my young friends, that doors are opening to each of you. Doors of opportunity are opening to each of you that were not open to your mothers and to your fathers. And the great challenge facing you is to be ready to enter these doors as they open. Ralph Waldo Emerson, the great essayist, said in a lecture back in 1871 that if a man can write a better book or preach a better sermon or make a better mousetrap than his neighbor, even if he builds his house in the woods, the world will make a beaten path to his door. That hadn't always been true, but it will become increasingly true. And so I would urge you to study hard, to burn the midnight oil. I would say to you, don't drop out of school, and I understand all of the sociological reasons why we often drop out of school. But I urge you, in spite of your economic plight, in spite of the situation that you are forced to live so often with intolerable conditions, stay in school. And when you discover what you're going to be in life, set out to do it as if God Almighty called you at this particular moment in history to do it. And just don't set out to do a good Negro job, but do a good job that anybody could do. Don't set out to be just a good Negro doctor, a good Negro lawyer, a good Negro school teacher, a good Negro preacher, a good Negro barber, a beautician, a good Negro skilled laborer. For if you set out to do that, you have already flunked your matriculation exam for entrance into the University of Integration. Set out to do a good job and do that job so well that the living, the dead, or the unborn couldn't do it any better. Falls your lot to be a street sweeper, sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures, sweep streets like Beethoven composed music, sweep streets like Leontine Price sings before the Metropolitan Opera, and sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote poetry. Sweep streets so well that all the host of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a great street sweeper who swept his job well. If you can't be a pine on the top of the hill, be a scrub in the valley. But be the best little scrub on the side of the rill. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. For it isn't by size that you win or you fail. Be the best of whatever you are. We already have some noble examples of black men and black women who demonstrated to us that human nature cannot be cataloged. They in their own lives have walked through long and desolate nights of oppression, and yet they've risen up and plunged against cloud-filled nights of affliction, new and blazing stars of inspiration. And so from an old slave cabin of Virginia's hills, Booker T. Washington rose up to be one of America's great leaders. He lit a torch in Alabama, and darkness fled in that setting. Yes, you should know this because it's in your own city. From a poverty-stricken area, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Marian Anderson rose up to be the world's greatest contralto so that a Toscanini could say that a voice like this comes only once in a century, and Sibelius of Finland could say, my roof is too low for such a voice, from the red hills of Gordon County, Georgia. And the arms of a mother who could neither read nor write, Roland Hayes, rose up to be one of the world's great singers and carried his melodious voice into the palaces and mansions of kings and queens. From crippling circumstances, there came a George Washington Carver to carve for himself an imperishable niche in the annals of science. There was a start in the diplomatic sky. And then came Ralph Bunch, the grandson of a slave preacher. And he reached up and grabbed it and allowed it to shine in his life with all of its scintillating beauty. There was a start in the athletic sky. And Then came Jackie Robinson in his day and Willie Mays in his day with their powerful bats and their calm spirits. Then came Jesse Owens with his fleet and dashing feet. Then came Joe Louis and Muhammad Ali with their educated fists. All of them came to tell us that we can be somebody, and to justify the conviction of the poet, fleecy locks and black complexion cannot forfeit nature's claim. Skin may differ, but affection dwells in black and white the same. And if I were so tall as to reach the pole, or to grasp the ocean at a span, I must be measured by my soul. The mind is the standard of the man. And finally, finally, in your life's blueprint must be a commitment to the eternal principles of beauty, love, and justice. Don't allow anybody to pull you so low as to make you hate them. Don't allow anybody to cause you to lose your self-respect to the point that you do not struggle for justice. However young you are, you have a responsibility to seek to make your nation a better nation in which to live. You have a responsibility to seek to make life better for everybody. And so you must be involved in the struggle for freedom and justice. Now, in this struggle for freedom and justice, there are many constructive things that we all can do and that we all must do. And we must not give ourselves to those things which will not solve our problems. You've heard the word nonviolent, and you've heard the word violent. I happen to believe in nonviolence. We've struggled with this method with young people and adults alike all over the South, and we have won some significant victories, and we've got to struggle with it all over the North, because the problems are as serious in the North as they are in the South. But I believe as we struggle with these problems, we've got to struggle with them with a method that can be militant, but at the same time does not destroy life or property. And so our slogan must not be "Burn, baby, burn." It must be "Build, baby, build." Organize. Yes, our slogan must be "Learn, baby, learn," so that we can earn, baby, earn. And with a powerful commitment, I believe that we can transform dark yesterdays of injustice into bright tomorrows of justice and humanity. Let us keep going toward the goal of selfhood, toward the realization of the dream of brotherhood, and toward the realization of the dream of understanding goodwill. Let nobody stop us. I close by quoting once more the man that the young lady quoted, that magnificent black bard who has now passed on, Langston Hughes. One day he wrote a poem entitled "Mother to Son." The mother didn't always have her grammar right, but she uttered words of great symbolic profundity. "Well, son, I'll tell you. Life for me ain't been no crystal stad. It's had tacks in it. Boards torn up, places with no carpet on the floor, bare. But all the time, I's been a-climbing on and reaching landings and turning corners and sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So, boy, don't you stop now. Don't you sit down on the steps because you finds this kind of hard. But I's still going, boy. I's still climbing. And life for me ain't been no crystal stair. Well, life for none of us has been a crystal stair. But we must keep moving. We must keep going. If you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. But by all means, keep moving.
Good morning. I did something a little different this morning because I didn't have nothing. So I wanted to play that this morning. And he made some key points. Because he said, don't hate no one. And I had to tell a person yesterday, I don't hate you. I just dislike what you do. Because when you hate, it's like being judgmental because we all go through something. We all got past skeletons in the closet. Somebody might not like what I do, vice versa. But I'm saying that to say this, we got to start mending fences. We got to start, stop being judgmental so bad because at the end of the day, we all got children. And it's his plan to work on each one of our lives. And I'm dealing with a lot on over here this week. I'm actually driving in the rain and right now. And I just want to thank all y'all for just being patient with me. And because I'm not as fluent in the Bible as a lot of the guys that be on here, Reverend Aaron, Brother D, and Reverend Brian, but I'm trying my best. I'm still learning. And just continue to pray for me and my family, both sides of my family. Continue to pray for yourselves, too. Pray for everyone in this world, because this world, believe it or not, this world is in turmoil. I played this sermon there because Reverend Harris said he couldn't make it today, and I just stormed through it. And every time I listen to Dr. Martin Luther King, it's always inspiring. So I just wanted to play that this morning. I'm a player. If anyone want to say anything, they can hit the one button right now. But if not, I'm gonna say a little prayer, and because I'm being in a bad area, in a minute, and I'm pretending today, I'm gonna bless everyone. If anyone got anything to say. But I just want to thank y'all for coming out and bearing with me. Okay. Hold on. You open, Brother D. You open.
Good morning, my brother. Good morning. I'm a little late to the party this morning, but as always, I'm just glad to be here, being part of the service. I wish you had contacted me earlier. My brother, and we just tried to do something different. But I think it's great what you're doing. You're on point. Whenever one of my brothers can't come in, that you always have a sermon or a song or something that you'll play. You know, it's not what you give, it's that you give. The Bible says that you give that's your reasonable portion of service. So it's not what you give, it's that you give. So this morning, since Romero couldn't be here, you saw fit to give them something that would enlighten them for the day, gives you the opportunity to start your day off still with what thus said the Lord. And that's great. That's past good. That's great. But I heard you saying how, you know, we don't forgive and being judgmental. You know, that's carnal minded. That's carnal minded. And what I mean is that's earthly mind. I heard you saying how you're not as versed as someone else. The little bit that I know about the Bible, you can put in the head of a thimble. That's what my grandmother used to tell us. My grandfather used to tell us that. My mother used to tell us that. In other words, the problem getting is that you are forever learning. No man knows the Bible. We study the Bible, and that's all we can do. And the way you get knowledge of the Bible is that you ask the Lord for wisdom and understanding. There was a young man in the Bible that it was like the world would open up to him, wasn't it? And he said, ask what you want, and I granted thee. The Lord told him, didn't he? And out of all the things he could have asked for, look what he asked for. He said, Lord, I want more wisdom that I could lead your people. So we ask God for knowledge of his word, and he'll reveal it to you daily. Just keep doing what you're doing. You keep studying it. You keep reading and keep studying, and I can make a promise to you. See, some things we can't promise because we don't know if we can fulfill them, but I can make a promise to you that God will fulfill it for me. That is, if you keep studying and keep asking God for more knowledge and understanding, he'll keep pouring into you. I heard Reverend Henry give an analogy yesterday, and I loved it. He said, if you take a glass that's half full with dirty water, that's sin. If you keep pouring clean water in it, that's God. If you keep pouring in, he said, what would happen is that all this filthy water, all that dirty water, going to be washed away. And see, that's how God works. You keep praying, my brother, and keep asking him, and watch him keep feeling. He'll keep feeling, and he'll keep feeling. See, God is forever giving. God has no limitation on what he gives. Man have a limitation on where we go. God is unlimited. The Bible says he's omnipresent. That means he's always. He's everywhere, in every place, at the same time. See, only God can do that. So he can bless you and bless me at the same time. I heard a preacher say one time he can take a crooked stick and hit a straight lick. See, only God can do these things. So you keep doing what you're doing, and God will continue to bless you, keep shining on you. And we're going to keep praying for you and your family and your issues. And God is just good. He just that kind of God. He just that kind of God, you know. So I'm always doing what I can for our evening service, for our morning service. It's brother, why you come? I come to hear the word of God. I told him yesterday I got fed twice yesterday. So I get fed in the morning, and I got fed in the evening. And I do the same thing again today, you know. Again, at the same appointed time, at 5 p.m. this evening, I'll start being fed again because it's God's word. So, yeah, just keep your head up, brother. Keep praying and keep asking God. Anything you don't understand, ask God for it. He'll give it to you. And you got my number. Anytime you run across anything in the Bible, if it's confusing to you, you know, you can call me 24 hours a day. Now, I'd be more than glad to grab the 66 and do what I can to help you out with it. So just keep doing what you're doing and let God work a miracle in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Anyone else have anything they want to say? Brother D, you hit the one, buddy.
Amen.
You
want to
pray us out?
I sure will. You know, the Bible said, be ye also ready. I didn't come in to pray, but I'm always willing to pray. See, Brother D going to do whatever he can, whenever he can, because there's an old song, Brother, that I love. It says, last time, maybe my last time, I don't know. See, you never know. I never know where my last time might be. So I'm going to always take the opportunity, whenever it's given to me, to tell someone about God, to try to sing about God, to pray about God, to teach about this man we call Jesus. I'm always doing it. I want to ask each and every last one that's listening, if you will bow your heads, give God your heart, give God your ear, and pray along with us as we pray. Father God, we come to you, coming to you, Father, with a word of thanks. We want to thank you, Father, for allowing Brother Nutty to open up our service this morning. We want to thank you for putting it on his heart to play the music that he played. Father, we don't know what caused our brothers, Reverend Hera, to not be able to serve this morning. Knowing that if he could, we know he would. But we know that you're able. We know that you always have a ram in the bush. We know that you always make a way out of no way. We know, Father, that the shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus' will. That lets us know, Lord, that we don't have to stay long, just that we came and that we gave our reasonable portion of service. And we want to say thank you. We thank you for allowing us to come together this morning. We thank you that you just continue to bless these services. We ask that you continue to touch us with the fingertip of love. Guide us through this day as you have done every day in the past. We thank you for allowing our years to roll on. Father, we ask that whatever is troubling our brother, we pray that you will continue to bless Brother Nutty. We understand that there's a problem in life right now called death. But we know that you make no mistakes, but that you not only bless him, but bless his family. Continue to touch that family. Touch him in a mighty way. Touch him in a way that only you can, Lord, so that we know you, we love you, and we truly place no one above you. We know that you are God and God all by yourself. We ask that you bless those that are listening today. We bless those that had something to say, those that wanted to say something and couldn't, maybe wasn't able to, maybe they couldn't get to the phone or couldn't speak, maybe they're at work. But just knowing that their mind has stayed on you, we ask that you continue to bless them. Touch the sinful world that we're in. We're living in a dying world right now, but yet let them know that you still live, that you're still God, that you're still sitting on the throne, that you're still able to do all things but fail. Lord, we love you. We love you. We love you. Watch everyone say amen. 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 And we said, thank God for Jesus.
Come and let's go back on a journey. The year was 1963. The place was Nutley, New Jersey, in the First Baptist Church where I pastored. And gathered there that evening was James Cleveland, the angelic choir. And I recall going to my pulpit and giving the folks a little spiritual advice before we sang. I said, when you get home, get your Bible. Read Mark, the 4th chapter, starting at the 37th verse, going down to the 41st verse. And in the context of these verses, you will find a story of Jesus and his disciples as they commanded a boat and went out on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus got tired and went down in the hinder part of the ship and went to sleep. But while Jesus slept, the cosmic phenomenons of the world broke loose. The sky got as black as 1,000 midnights down in a cypress swamp. The thunders rolled across the heavens. The lightning wrote her zigzag name on the bosom of the clouds. And the waters tossed and turned that little ship. And these men who thought they knew so much about the sea decided we better go get Jesus. And they went down and they shook Jesus. And Jesus got up, came up, stood on the ship, looked around, and chastised them first by saying, oh ye of little faith, what are you so concerned about? And he raised his hand and said three words, peace, be still. The sun came out, the clouds dissipated, the thunder hushed his voice. The winds went back in his chamber and slammed the doors. The waters laid down like a baby and said, we're gonna hold you so you don't rock no more. Aren't we like that?
As long as we think we can handle our ship, we don't call on Jesus. But when the going get rough, when things get tough, we call on Jesus. And when they woke him up, somebody said, Reverend Roberts, what did they say? This is what they said. These are the words when they woke my Savior. They said this. What?
Master, the tempest is raging. Oh, the billows are tossing high. Oh, yes. The sky is all shallow, oh, with blackness. Oh, no. No shelter or help. Ooh, in night. Well, honey,
listen, come on, listen, listen.
Sure, that dark that we perish. Oh, how can I lie asleep? Oh, when it seemed like each moment is so madly threatening. Oh, yes, Lord. Somebody know what they said. A grave. A grave. A grave. Oh, indeed. Yeah, Lord. Yeah, Lord Jesus.
Go away,
Carol, and help me.
Obey.